Greg Foster from Redeck is alongside. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I mean, there's not even like fog. You didn't have any fog driving in this morning, huh?
No. It was lovely. It was lovely. Some puffy clouds, and that's about it.
Yeah. Gee, kind of sounds like we ought to have tourists around.
Yeah, well, they're here.
Yes,
they're
we here. Do. Okay. Are you ready for your question for this morning?
Sure.
Okay. Why are portholes on a ship round?
It's probably easier to cut the hole round than square, and I think square edges rust. I don't know.
The constant up and down motion of a ship puts considerable stress on the ship's skin or outer covering.
Right, okay.
If portholes were designed with angles, this stress would tend to concentrate at those points and perhaps crack it. With round portholes, such stress is evenly distributed around the holes, making it less likely for such cracks to occur.
Makes sense, yeah. I was in the neighborhood. I wasn't.
Yeah, you were like way out in the suburbs.
Yeah, yeah. But I just, you know, the general point was it's better to have round than square.
Yeah. And I'm sure your geometry teacher in high school appreciates that comment.
Exactly.
Oh, geez. Well, I survived an airplane flight out of McKinleyville.
Oh.
And back. It was intriguing. Greg's on the, what is the da-da-da-da-da-da advisory?
I was on the Humboldt Aviation Advisory Committee. I was chair of that committee years ago. And then, of course, through REDEC, we do a lot of work with the airport.
Now you're just a
Fly Humboldt.
A not silent partner.
Yeah. No, I'm never silent.
Yeah, exactly. Went out to Dallas. Going out was okay. Coming back, it was interesting. Everybody was kind of cool about the masks, except from Houston to L.A.
Hmm.
It was like aggressive military police state.
Interesting.
If you don't have your nose covered along with your mouth, we will, pilot came on.
Yeah.
One point, and we will have law enforcement waiting for you at the airport. I'm thinking, holy Toledo, are you guys crazy?
They had,
and everybody else was regular, normal.
Yeah. They may have had a. It's one of the things I've noticed on airlines is that when they're having a problem with a passenger, they come on with general announcements. You know, until it gets to the point where they just have to deal with that one passenger. But yeah. So
and dogs are now flying. I didn't realize that we were able.
Well, there was a pilot shortage, so you had to train dogs. And
three dogs were brought on board.
What's that about?
Three different people.
Just people bringing their own animals.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've seen dogs. Yeah. That, you know, is.
Did I miss that one?
Well, so there was this whole thing, and this is, it was funny because there was a time before COVID, you know, when other issues were facing the airlines. And one of those was this emotional support animal thing. And I remember talking to airlines and folks at our conferences, you know, and they had this, what they called an ESA problem, which was people would say, well, this is my emotional support animal. And they literally, I think it was United, had someone try to bring a peacock on board.
Yes. Stefan has recanted that one over and over again.
And so the airlines had to start putting in rules about, you know, no spiders, no, you know, crazy stuff. And it was funny. Literally, it was a topic at a conference among some of the airlines.
Well, you know, if they had spiders and snakes, one, you could have people could sing. But secondly, one would win.
You would
say. So you would lose half of the load, halfway through.
Yeah. There you go. Well, the mass would still be there. You just would lose the individual.
Yes.
Consumed in. But it's all by weight on an aircraft. So, people who are flying dogs were obviously allowed under with certain rules, and so you see people flying with that. But the airlines had to put in rules, and you know, like no exotics, no whatever. So
it just seems. Never seen a cat though.
You know, I don't know that I've seen a cat. I have seen dogs, however.
Yeah,
cats I think would roam around a bit too much. They're not dogs. You can say sit and cat. The cat is. definitely going
to
do
it. Well, do they have
to
pay additional fees?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Well, you can't stuff them in the overhead.
Well, you could. It would just be very uncomfortable for the dog and probably for the people on the flight.
Yeah. Yeah, hearing the whining. Yeah. It just had never seen it before then to see three of them in the same
yeah,
slot.
Yeah.
Of course, they were going to L.A. It was that Houston to L.A. leg. So maybe it has something to do with Lala. I'm not sure.
It could be. It could be. Were they small or large dogs?
One was inside a bag. They were all inside bag. Two of them were inside bags. One guy had it just like under his arm.
Oh, there you go.
So he didn't board on our flight. He went somewhere else. So, but it was like, are you okay, fine, whatever.
Well, and you think about the airlines. You know, one of the changes in the industry, certainly over, you know, long periods of time, but even now accelerating, is that it's a lot cheaper to fly now than it was certainly in the 70s. And so back then, you know, you see these old pictures of people in large, you know, seats with their suits, and, you know, there was a certain amount of decorum. And you
leg room.
Food, yeah, all that kind of stuff. But it was also something for the privileged, right? I mean, it was something special. It was not accessible to a lot of people.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't routine.
Right, and so now it is. You know, we've really gone from sort of limousine service to bus service. And so as a result, you get, quite honestly, a lot more different kind of people on these aircraft. And boy, there's...
Yes, you do.
It keeps it very interesting. And, you know, the bare feet and all the other stuff where you just don't have that anymore. So it's less Macy's and more Walmart now, I think. And so, yeah, you get to bring your animals.
Macy's is now considered top of the line?
Yeah. I think Nordstrom, well, you
that's
maybe,
where
maybe
I was,
Neiman Marcus or something like that.
There you
right?
go. Okay.
Yeah. I'm thinking economy class. First class has always been Neiman Marcus.
I don't know. I just walk by the, you know, I figure if I don't run into somebody and nobody
Southern
trips
Humboldt,
me.
You know, trip to Macy's is a big deal.
No, I remember back when Union Square was viable. Mm-hmm. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Foster. So, Greg, I get what, last week there was another chance for the wine to flow and the food to be served? And
yeah, unfortunately, we didn't do wine or food.
Oh, really?
Our celebrations were a little more muted. But
You didn't serve small little bottles of water?
No.
That's it.
we did hand out to all the incoming passengers, got a gift bag that was donated by the Coast Central Credit Union. They've been great. They actually have installed and donated video screens out there. If you come over baggage, you see four.
Yeah, I saw Redeck and I saw them and I saw something else.
Yeah, they donated that. And eventually those will be, there's what was on there right now is temporary until they get all the IT behind it put in. And then you'll see newer videos and advertising going up there. And they donated gift bags that we could hand out to all the arriving passengers, both for the Avelo flight on May 19th. And then the Phoenix flight on June 3rd. City of Eureka donated glasses and bandanas, and they call them bandanas. And I don't know. And okay. And then we had other things in there. Redeck, we made stickers, and we bought from one of our customers, Kenny's Chocolates. We had chocolates done, and so we handed those out to everybody that left.
You didn't do the little redwood tree?
Huh? An actual redwood tree?
Yeah, and the, you know, remember the tubes?
Oh, yeah. No, we didn't do that. Because I'm afraid most of those end up dead somewhere.
That's what I thought, too. But Yano, she was on last month and said, no, there are a bunch of those trees that are growing up in the Midwest and the East.
Oh, really? Interesting.
She gets calls about, you know, boy, this thing's 50 feet tall. Yeah, how do I stop it?
Yeah, right. You don't.
Yeah. I mean, that
kind welcome to the wonderful world of owning a redwood in your yard, having done that. Yeah, so we welcomed two flights. We did a kind of a celebration ribbon cutting, basically. It was fairly low key for American Airlines, which started its Phoenix service on June 3rd, and they announced at the same time that they'll be adding a second departure, August 17th, 18th.
Does that mean that the first has had that kind of positive response?
You know, it's done well. Our numbers have been pretty good, and you know, obviously they're liking something to be able to add.
Yeah,
second.
I mean, before right, you know, when the first one comes in, all of a sudden you double it down.
Right.
I mean,
yeah. Exactly. And the nice thing is too, the flight they're adding will be one that arrives in the evening and spends the night here, and then we'll leave it, I think it's about 6 a.m. the next morning. So you'll catch that morning bank out of their hub in Phoenix, because that is an American hub in addition to Dallas-Fort Worth. And then, you know, the Denver service for United started up the same time. So, you know, we didn't have a big celebration for that, but we did, of course, announce it and celebrate it, you know, online. And
so is everybody kind of leaving at 6 in the morning?
I mean, no,
I know that typically, you know, you try to cluster things.
Right. There's some there, and there's a fair amount of midday flying right now, and then a couple in the evening.
Okay.
And, you know, they'll adjust those schedules as they move forward to see how things are going. But it's fun to see, you know, we had a plane pulling in, a plane pulling out, you know, another one in the air. It's kind of exciting to see that kind of activity out there.
Kind of like an airport.
Exactly. And we're looking forward to the day when there's four slots now out there to park aircraft.
Who got, or was that at Vino, the down towards the hangars?
Right. So
somebody was parked way out.
Yeah, they've striped it so that the 737 can go on either slot one or slot four, which are on the ends.
Okay.
And then, you know, any of the other regionals can go anywhere else. So Avelo has up near the arrival area where you come in through the gate there on the, if you look at the front of the terminals on the left side, they have all their equipment up there and their tug and everything. So they try to, I think, mostly pop up there.
Is there any thought to get rid of the meat slicer?
that's an interesting gate.
I always think about the older folks or somebody who's less mobile.
Yeah.
Getting...
Yeah.
Popped on that one of those things.
Yeah, you know, you know, as the airport increases in its volume and the budget gets better because of a couple things. One, more activity out there really helps the budget, but also the county was compelled by the FAA to really update their fee schedule for the use of airport properties, and that should result in a better revenue for the aviation division as well. I think there's more money available to do some of these upgrades that are needed out there.
I mean, it's kind of cool as a historical.
Right.
And I get exactly. It for the safety thing, but...
Yeah, if that thing gets spinning too fast, you can get... fortunately, it's, you know, it's...
Or if you got a couple bags.
Right. Oh, yeah. Sometimes getting through there with a big bag, if you aren't... skilled.
If you don't try to just,
there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I stay away from those things in hotels, too.
Right, yeah. Well, you know, and airports are so complex, even little airports like ours, with all the moving parts and pieces, that you know, you're constantly improving and fixing and changing things up.
Come on, man, this is from, the 50s?
Well,
this has not been upgraded or updated.
You're getting to my
little
point.
Bit of time.
You're getting to my point, which is that I think it's time for us to really seriously look at creating an airport authority. This is my personal opinion. So that you have a organization and a structure that's solely focused on the airport and can, you know, do some of these things rather than just say, well, it's good enough and we've got other county priorities.
Yeah, I figure if we're upgrading Sequoia Park, we can upgrade that turnstile.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we can do a skywalk.
Yeah, yeah, over the top of the fence.
There you go.
It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35.
Forgot what you were doing.
No, I was looking outside at the blue sky and watching the traffic go by on the highway going, oh, man, should be out there.
Yeah.
Greg Foster is with us this morning. Well, that's okay. In our air-conditioned studio, air studio.
Yeah, it's a
broadcast
plush,
studio.
Plush,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess it is compared to some.
Exactly.
This is us, man. Challenges certainly, Greg, that are going on at the state level. I mean, Newsom, his edict that maybe the 15th isn't the 15th. What do you do? How do you do it? Maybe, maybe not. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. You got Cal OSHA now in charge, or apparently in charge of some of the stuff. And then the governor's going around handing out $50 bills.
I know. I want one of those.
It just seems like things are going. Yeah, what is it? A little Alice in Wonderland here on us.
You know, we'll figure it out next pandemic, maybe. You
know? Yeah, give us another 100.
Yeah, so as I understand, the color coding system and most of the state restrictions are going to be gone June 15th, but that they're going to keep the state of emergency in place just in case.
Which really keeps the specter alive that the state is now feeling as if it can control. And we'll whip an edict out whenever. You know. Let's say we get a run of colds, just regular old.
You know. Well, I think it's the state of emergency is specifically around the COVID. I would be skeptical that they could pull off something like.
Successfully, I don't think they could. I don't think they could if they tried to remask everybody.
Well, and I agree. That's why we're really pushing with like. Get those vaccines. We got to keep those numbers down. And unfortunately, Humboldt is still lagging behind the state on vaccinations. And, you know.
Well, you get into the more rural areas, you're going to get more rural attitude.
Right. Yeah. And where that hurts us, and, you know, last summer we were pointed out for being one of the lowest in the state, which was great, right? Hey, let's go to Humboldt. It's safe and
early adopters.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. And you know, there's been some, and it's tailed off a bit. But you know, when we had this spike in a month or two ago, we were, you know, getting statewide and even some national coverage about being one of the worst in Humboldt. I mean, in California, and so that's bad for business. It's just bad for business. And
didn't seem to slow people up though.
I think the lack
of density that we have in our area
that helps.
But
the other thing that you know it's hard to tell whether or not it was slowing people up because at the same time we were kind of in a reopening phase for the entire state. But you know it slowed us down in terms of being able to get rid of restrictions, and so we stayed in orange rather than moving to we stayed in red longer and then we stayed in orange longer where we still are, and we still haven't gotten to yellow where a lot of the other state already is. So, you know, but a lot of these restrictions are gone now, and it felt good. I was out, you know, walking around on Arts Alive on you know, they kind of have a soft opening, and it's great to hear live music down there in Old Town again.
Just to see people without masks on.
People walking around,
people looking normal.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's as close to normal as we can get,
normal
right?
Normal as I look, right? Yeah. Exactly. But, so, you know, it's. You know, we're in this transition phase. There's still, you know, we have to be responsible. Other countries are having real problems. Even some other states are still having some problems. But, I think it'll be a good summer. In fact, you know, the biggest problem I hear right now is lack of labor. And
constantly.
Yeah. All, of all types, too.
Are you hearing anything when the governmental largesse is going to get rolled back?
Well, you know, some of them end, some of it's ending already, and I think the rest of it is.
Was it this month?
I can't remember exactly. I know that there are certain things that are ending, but you know, I think that affects people on the margins. I don't know. I mean, it's all over. You know.
Oh, you drive Broadway. You know, it's like every other business has got now hiring signs out.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, this is not, and then you got guys with the signs standing out in front.
Yeah, well.
You know, and it's like, wait a minute, look over your shoulder, look across the street.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in that kind of a situation and you really want to do something, it's there.
Right. And, you know, we had a, what's interesting, of course, is, and we had a presentation on labor force the other day where part of this is, you know, related to the COVID and coming out and all that, but this is really a continuation. If you look at the trend of things we were talking about 15 years ago, which was the aging out of the workforce. And so I had a presentation on Friday from the Smart Workforce Center, and they had some really interesting demographic information. There was something that the state puts out. It's a visual. You can kind of look at where the age cohorts are, and we looked at 2020 versus 2000, and just how much older the population is even in Humboldt County, and it's true state and nationally, you know. And I remember the Kansas City Fed put out a story quite a while ago about how by 2000, I think it was 2010, that for every person leaving the workforce, every two people leaving the workforce, only one was coming in, just because of age and demographics. Well,
and then you think about the types of jobs and the training that the schools are providing. You know, there's not a long waiting list for most vocational schools. There is for some other niches.
The trades are really
so suffering. You get an area like us, you know, and you know what jobs.
Right.
Typically, you know, entry level jobs that you can do when you're going to school, that kind of stuff. Right. But as far as careers, but now that's starting to change with, you know, the line coming in and
oh, yeah.
The fishing and some of these other things starting to happen. But we don't have child producing families here anymore.
Yeah. Well, and people aren't having, you know, 5-6 kids anymore like they used to, right? you see these big houses and they go, oh, yeah, you know, I lived there and they had, you know, or people, you know, the obituaries, you know, 1 of 8 kids or 1 of 5 kids.
Yeah, now, well, just like, the Victorians.
A lot of people just have one, you know.
Yeah, the Victorians were not apartment houses.
Right.
Not initially, at least.
Right.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Foster. Greg, with some of the different challenges that are out there, interest rates certainly are paramount in a lot of people's minds.
Yeah.
Construction costs for remodeling or anything else. I would suspect that the cost of entry, or maybe another way to say it, the risk factor for anybody either looking to expand in business or currently in business has been ratcheted up. Are there any references that reflect that either that's the case, or is this one of those, the rising tide, and everybody's going to benefit, it's just how long is it going to take until your business or your niche benefits?
Yeah, there's so many things that go into that decision for a business owner. And, you know, interest, you know, the cost of capital and all that is one of them. You know, we have so many big projects occurring right now. You know, the cable landing and the Nordic Aqua Farms and the wind energy stuff and other projects that, you know, I think that the conditions are becoming better for those that will benefit from those kinds of investments. And so, you know, we're seeing in our you know, little loan program, we're seeing a fair amount of optimism. In fact, we, you know, we're
we're looking at two projects now that are taking buildings and rehabbing them and putting them back into use.
Kind of cool to see that happening.
Oh, it's awesome. Those are my favorite kind of projects. And I think about the Dick Taylor project that we're involved in.
When is it not going to look like an old abandoned warehouse?
It's beautiful inside. And so you're going to do the exterior the last. Yeah.
Okay.
but it's going to be beautiful. I mean, I've been inside a couple times during the construction, and it's major construction going on in there.
Well, it's major space.
Yeah, it's a big, beautiful space. And, to watch that occur, that will become, in a few years, people will forget that that was an abandoned old building for so many years because it's going to be a beautiful spot. They're doing really well. And they have so that's just one. I mean, we're doing like a few more. And to see that kind of investment from people who are here and homegrown and started with, basically a hobby almost, and now are international and building this beautiful facility.
Now, what about the empty retailers? Now, whether or not they may not be, or closed might be better.
Right.
I mean, you've got like the Lost Coast Brewery, the old building. It's there.
Oh, right.
Still owned, still being maintained, just not opened.
The one on 4th or the one on
the one on 4th.
Yeah, I understand they're hiring up right now.
So okay, so a lot of those are going to start happening again, and
we'll start to get
that vibrancy.
Well, and you need certainty, right? And so you when we were going changing colors and you didn't know what was going on with the pandemic, you were just kind of hanging on. That was not necessarily a time to invest in growth.
But you look at Old Town, there's a whole bunch of empty storefronts. A whole bunch.
Fewer.
Yeah, but if you're looking for retail or restaurant or things where that draw people rather than office space.
Well, some of the some of the empty spaces are empty because they're not in very good shape.
That's what I was wondering. Is there?
It's not enough to have an old building and you slap a Xerox, for lease sign with the area cell phone number on the window and say it's going
to. So, is there any push by those folks to renovate? I mean, if they weren't inclined before when it was less costly, I would suspect that it's less apt to happen now. And now you start moving into blight and derelict and kind of back to what Old Town was when we were growing up in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah. it's hard when, it's a building that's owned by somebody who doesn't care or that really has a low cost of ownership or
doesn't appear like they care.
Yeah, exactly. Or just don't know how to go forward with it, right? There are buildings down there, and I have talked to some folks who are connected to property owners. I said, what's it going to take for them to do something at one building in particular? And I'm not going to mention it, but I was told the owner just doesn't want to deal with it.
Death.
Well,
for heirs to take it over.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think it was like, the building cash flows, they've had it for a long time. They're maybe older and they just don't want the hassle of trying to fix it up.
It's really weird because I would think, that there would be a pride of ownership, a commitment to the community. I mean, those types of intrinsic things that you and I mean, those are norms.
Well, yeah. I mean,
but we also don't own a whole bunch of investment property.
Right, exactly.
And, that may change our point of view.
Yeah, exactly. You got to look at it if it's, if you're older and you're going to take 10 years to recoup your investment.
It's for the kids.
Right, yeah. So you just don't.
All righty, bud. Well, keep smiling.
I will. I'm going to go out and enjoy the sun.
All right,
all the way back down to my office.
No sunburns. See everybody tomorrow.